The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week, if you remember, we had Jesus ask the disciples, Who do people say that I am? They responded with the answers. And this week, and then he continues on, But who do you say that I am? And St. Peter answers, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praises him for that. This week's gospel follows exactly on the heels of that episode. And it demonstrates that St. Peter most likely did not understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah, to be the anointed one, to be the Christ. He probably had in his mind what, when we read the Old Testament, what the Old Testament idea of Messiah would be. Cyrus of Persia was considered a Messiah because he saved the people. He freed the people of Israel from the Babylonian exile. He allowed them to go back and to build the temple. He was called the Messiah, little m. And so for St. Peter to say, well, how dare you, that God forbid, that should never happen to you. How can you be the Messiah if you die on a cross and such humiliating things? He knew what the cross was. He didn't know how Jesus fit the mold of the Messiah who would die on a cross. And Jesus rebukes him. And just a little Catholic apologetic 101, Jesus is not saying that he is the person of Satan. There is a true Satan, we know he exists, but Satan is more a title than his name. And the word Satan means the adversary, the one who stands against. And at that moment, no one stood against Jesus more than St. Peter did. Without understanding fully what it meant to be a Messiah, Jesus just said, God forbid, that should never happen to you, and stood against God's will for Jesus, stood up against the Father's will that Jesus would be the Messiah who would take up his cross, who would lay down his life for us, who would give us life and resurrection. And in case we don't get that, in case we don't fully understand, Jesus goes on and says, It's not enough for me to take up my cross. You too must take up your cross and follow me. And this is something that we tend to spiritualize. When we talk about have we taken up our cross, we might name one or two areas in our life that we consider a cross, and yes, we're allowing Jesus to be part of that. And there's a truth there that, yeah, we can do that. But I think such a thing minimizes what Jesus is talking about. We might name loss of a child, the loss of a loved one, a parent or a spouse. We might name a disease or a sickness that we're dealing with, some very open and out there and some very private. We might name some mental or physical defect that we have that makes life difficult for us. And all those are crosses, yes, perhaps. But Jesus doesn't want to be God just of that little cross. He wants to be God of our entire lives. And when he tells us to take up our cross, it's not these little things in our life. It's to take up ourselves, our means to sanctification. To take up and submit to him, and to give our lives to him, to give our lives as a sacrifice to the one who gives us eternal life. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life after all? To take up our cross means we submit everything to Jesus Christ. Today in our first reading, we have Jeremiah who, without having the language of the cross, is basically doing that. Lord, you duped me and I let myself be duped. When I first got into this preaching thing, this is a paraphrase, of course, I just simply started and now all I have to preach is violence, terror, and the people mock me. And the more I try to contain it, the more I try to hold it back, say, I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to share it, I'm not going to share it, it becomes like fire in my bones. I have to share it. To put it in the words of the gospel, this is a cross that I've been given to bear, that though it brings me humiliation, though they deride me and taunt me, I have to continue to share this, because this is the means of my sanctification. Or to look at St. Paul today in his letter to the Romans. St. Paul telling us to offer our bodies as a spiritual sacrifice, to lay down our lives for Jesus Christ, and to be about the renewal of our minds, the transformation of our minds, to see as God sees, not as human beings see. Isn't that exactly what Jesus told St. Peter? St. Peter didn't fully understand what Jesus Christ was talking about. St. Peter didn't fully understand the crucifixion, but he understood what the cross meant. Everyone in that day and age would have. Crucifixion, while not everywhere every day, certainly was common enough that when Jesus uses that image, even before he's crucified, they know it's a means of death. And Jesus is instructing us to take up our cross, to die to ourselves. And how can we know if we're doing that? And again, like I said, it's not just in the little areas of our life, and I don't want to minimize those. Some might be thinking in your heads, and rightfully so, that our brothers and sisters in Houston and the surrounding areas, how they have a tremendous cross this week to bear as their houses and businesses are wiped away. And many dislocated from their homes and the recovery efforts. And while that's a huge burden that they have, that's not the fullness of the cross for them or for us. We might ask ourselves, is there an area in our life that we have not given to Christ? Where we might, it sounds terrible to say it out loud, but we act that way, where we might say to him, no, Lord, I have this, you can keep your hands off of it. If there's an area in our life where we actually say that, we haven't taken up our cross. Because we're not allowing God to be God in that moment, in that area of our life. It might be finances, it might be interpersonal relationships, it might be in some area of sin in our life. God wants to be God of even that area. He wants us to give our lives there. Or to use Saint Jeremiah as an example. Is there a welling up of fire in us as we talk about Jesus Christ, as we share about his presence in our lives? Or are we rather cold, dark? Do we allow Jesus Christ to inspire us, to give us that zeal that we need to go to our neighbors, our friends, to proclaim who he is? Or following up with another question, Jeremiah, the prophet, are we willing to be made foolish for Christ? To be looked at as he's sold completely out to the Lord. Look at him. Look at her. Are we willing to give everything? Or to be like St. Peter, are we willing to say, how I'm thinking about this is, might not be how the Lord wants us to think about this. Lord, transform my mind. Help me to see as you would see. Help me to give my life totally, completely to you. The Lord wants to be Lord of our entire lives. And the cross is the means to that. The cross is the ladder to salvation, as the saints have said. Or as one saint has said, and I forget which saint it is, I should look it up, if we aim for the earth, we gain neither earth nor heaven. But if we aim for heaven, we gain all that the Lord wants us to have. What profit would there be for us to gain the whole world and forfeit our lives, our souls, our eternity? The cross is the only means to eternal life. It means giving of ourselves. It means laying down our lives of sacrifice. And it means to receive from God all that is ours.